The following tape is titled, Pray for the Church of the Future, Day 14.
Pray for the Church of the Future.
Okay, the Church of the Future is the youth, the children in the church. Well, people say, but the Lord's coming right back anyway. The Lord says that nobody knows what time the Lord's going to come back, and he says to continue on praying and training people for the future. Amen?
Amen.
So, I mean, when I first got saved 36 years ago, I thought, well, the Lord was going to come back within a month or two. But it didn't happen that way, so you have to start praying for the church of the future. This time could go on at least maybe another 3.5-4 years. But then again, it could happen, it could continue on for many more years. And we need to pray for the children of the church of the future. And these will be the children. We have to train them up in the way they should go, in the things that they should do, not just read the Bible to them, but train them, because the Holy Spirit is on us. That means that we're going to be doing, not just talking. And we have to go through the fire here on this side. We have to pray for the spirit of burning, which was a message that I just did yesterday, because we need to have everything that is filth burned out of us in order that we don't get burned. If there's no filth left in us, then there's nothing for the Lord to burn on the day of judgment. Because all of God's ways are judgments, and he says that the books will be open and everyone is going to be judged for the things that they did or didn't do. Now, we're not saved by the things that we do. We're saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But we're judged for the things that we do. Amen?
Amen.
The things that we say. We really continue our salvation by doing the things that the Lord said, and we go to hell if we don't do what he says. He saved us. He pulled us out of the human realm into the godly realm to do for him to in us do his will. And so his will is that we are go through the fire on this side of eternity to let our consciences be burned with guilt and then confess and repent in order to purge all the filth out of us, so that there will be nothing for the Lord to burn on the day of judgment, to judge us. Everything has to be clean in our conscience. And a lot of people feel that, I don't even try to remember, because your conscience has pushed certain things out of your remembrance. But the Lord he doesn't forget. Everything is written down in a book in the kingdom of heaven. Everything that you did, every word that was stated, every deed that you might have done 10 or 15 years ago, maybe 5 years ago or 4 years ago, and you say, oh, that wasn't me, I'm pushing that out of my conscience. But it's all written down in a book. And you know, in the United States, they have a statute of limitations. After 10 years, you know, they can no longer prosecute you for this. But God doesn't have any statute of limitations. It's in the book. You're going to be judged for it. Unless it's confessed and forsaken and washed and that you're totally burned out. That's fire when you have to put your pride on the line and let it be destroyed. The more you do that, the more the living God can move in, and the filth that was in you is purged out, and you become a vessel worthy of the Master's use. And we need to train our children this way in order so that we, if we're around here for another 20 or 10, 20, 30 years, that there'll be somebody to take our place in the ministry. If we get sick, somebody's not, people will not shove us in a rest home or something, that will be there as the wise ones to counsel them and give them the knowledge and wisdom and understanding of what it is from the experience that we've had and from having been purged of all the filth, that we can guide them. So we need to pray that the young children will get the message, will have the Spirit, will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and continue, that they might continue on for those of us that are in the ministry now, today. Okay, then what?
Pray, quote, that the children might not be as their fathers.
Because their fathers didn't keep the commandments in the Old Testament and they all fell. Around 3 million of them in the desert, their bones were there. They didn't trust God even after they had seen him do all of his mighty wonders in the land of Egypt. And so we pray that they will not be, the children will not be like the bad ones that they see in the church today. Or like Jesus had one out of 12, a Judas. Somebody that thought they were so hot that they didn't have to do what the Lord said or follow his example. But they had ulterior motives. They wanted to carry the bag. They wanted to be a big shot in the eyes of the government. And so they turned the Lord of glory over to the government. That's what he lived for, is to be a big shot. And when he did that, even the government doesn't like snitches or rats. They hated him. He went and says, you know, I have done this to this and that, this and that to a righteous man. Says, get out of here. We don't want to know you anymore. Take your 13 silver dollars and go someplace. Don't bother us. So nobody wants a rat. Especially when they rat on some righteous person that's doing the will of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You see that? I mean, I watch different testimonials of people in government, and anyone that even rats on them, they have them killed. I mean, it was just a whole series of things like that, documentaries like that, where they just killed the rats. I was 4 years in prison, and I know that the different guards, when a person would come and rat on certain inmates, that they would say, boy, if they rat on them, they'll rat on me too. And nobody likes them. And of course, the propaganda makes it look like you'll really be highly favored in the eyes of the government if you're a rat. But they're all unscrupulous and they do evil things. And they don't want to know you, they don't want you around them if you're a rat. Because they're afraid you'll rat them out, or snitch them out, as they call it. But in the house of the Lord, it's a different story. When you rat on the devil, you're highly esteemed in the eyes of the Lord. If there's something going on in the church that's causing the church trouble, then you're supposed to report it right away. But there's a lot of people that are in churches today that are they training their children to not say anything about the satanic things that are going on in the church. And that's why we need to pray for the children, because we don't want them to be, God doesn't want them to be like their fathers. The ones that train them, don't tell on the devil. Don't make confession of the things that the devil had you doing in your body. Because the devil wants us to all burn. Amen?
Amen.
Pray, quote, that the children might not be as their fathers.
Right. I mean, there's so many people. Some of the people say that there's so many flaky people in the church. And there always is in every true church of the Lord. And in religions, you find hardly anybody saved. But in born-again Christian churches, churches that have the Spirit of, supposed to have the Spirit of the Lord operating in them, You find a lot of flaky people in those, like Judas. The Lord had, and they saw the Lord do all the miracles. If he even had one out of 12, you can imagine how many there are in a church that there has not been, even when there's been some miracles, but like such, for instance, one time I prayed for a man that was dead and he rose from the dead. So, but the Lord did that many more times, and it's the Lord in me that did it. That did anything, any good work that I've ever done, this was the Lord, not myself. I'm just an instrument. But you never see any works come out of those people at all because they're flaky. The Lord really is not operating in them because usually they're hiding many, many secrets for the devil. They're not purged. They're still with much filth in them. And if they don't repent, they're going to burn. I was telling on another tape of how that when I was a kid in Montana, I was in forest fires and everything, and I knew to go to the place that was burnt so that I wouldn't get burnt up. Because where it's already burnt up, everything's burnt, there's nothing more to burn, and that's the safest place. Right?
Right.
I don't want to be where there's weeds higher than my head or even up to my waist. I want to be where the fire burned everything out. Because the fire cannot burn anything there. And so if everyone has all the filth or the weeds burned out of themselves by going through the fire, by confessing and professing, and doing what the Lord says, you will not be burnt. You will not be hurt by the second death. The first death, you have to be burnt. You have to die, according to the Lord. Your will, your ways have to die. They have to be put away. And your way is to hide this Satan, and to lie, and to lust, and all the other things that the Bible states that are not of the Lord. And when these things are confessed, that causes the devil to not come around you anymore. He no longer has any hold on you because nobody wants to be around a rat. And you're ratting the devil. I want to be a rat for the Lord, okay? Amen. I've told people all over the world the things that the government is doing, the Vatican. I've come out and laid them bare, but it would take an eternity to continue doing the filth that they have done, that they have not unconfessed, that they have not confessed, and therefore I just pray for them now, because my ministry is to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, not to continuously tell of all the things that the Vatican and that Catholic cult has done, or anybody else for that matter. I just preach the word and many Catholics get saved. There's no point in me just preaching about that because it's a bottomless sewer of corruption. Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther, the one that founded the Lutheran Church, which I disagree with a lot of the things that he says, but one of the things that I agree with what he said was that the Lutheran Church, or the Catholic Church, and the Lutheran Church is very much like them now, because he always loved being a Catholic priest. He said the Catholic, the Vatican, the head of the Catholic Church, is a sewer of corruption. And he was the head of the Reformation back then. He was supposedly reforming the Catholic Church, which he never did. He put one tract on the Vatican's door, and that made him a big, to the people of, they thought that was a lot of boldness. Well, I went personally over to the Vatican and put thousands of tracts all around the Vatican and upbraiding them, and throughout all of Rome. We were stopped with machine guns on the road when we just wallpapered the airport on top of it. Then there was a whole company of soldiers that were marching around the Vatican looking for the ones that put the tracks on all the cars parked around it and on the walls. and it was little old moi. But the Lord got me out of there. And we passed out thousands and thousands of tracts on the streets to the Italians, and they were grabbing them like a candy. Children take candy. So we need to be bold, very courageous. If you're not even courageous enough to confess your stinking sins, then you're not going to be courageous to stand before the God of this earth, the devil. If you don't have enough spiritual intestinal fortitude or guts to do that, well, you're lost, because the fearful and unbelieving are going to spend eternity in hell. The Lord said so. In the same place that he stated that no liar shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, we have to tell in the church the corruption that's there, or else everybody else in the church will be corrupt. You must tell on the devil. There's no code. We don't want the devil to be around us anyway. And that's the way to keep him away from you, is to just tell everything that he does. We can't live according to the way of the world in the spirit. You're in the spiritual realm, not the realm of the world, the devil's place. You have to tell. You have to burn him out by telling on him. Otherwise, you see people make comments that the whole church is flaky. And it's because of you. Those of you in the church that just let the Satan do whatever he pleases in the church. You never confess anything. And when the books are open, it's there that you helped Satan corrupt the church. That you let him corrupt you and the church. And if there's one blot, one idle word, one thought, lustful thought, or any things like that that hasn't been confessed, you're going to go to hell because the Bible said so. That's God's word. And so pray that the church will get in order, because they need an example to see the children, so that they won't be like the fathers. The people, the older people in the church, the ones that allowed themselves to be corrupt by the devil and allowed the entire church to be corrupted by not reporting the things that he does. Some of the people in the church that I felt were trusted, I find out that they, when they get convicted of certain things, and they'll come and confess it. And you can preach all day long about things that are, the Lord says, are not right. The Lord says our sin. The Lord states that is being rebellious against his word. And people are just doing it every day.
Pray that the children might not be as their fathers, a generation that set not their heart aright.
There's a lot of people in this church and other churches throughout the world, in every church, that have never set their heart upright, and they have no intention of doing it either. What that is in a church or church mission that we are around for, because it's warm, they're warmed and filled here. That's all they want to do, is try to make it through this life warmed and filled, and they don't believe in the Word of God, they don't believe in God, and they feel that there's no hell, there's no heaven. But God said there was. He said he's going to open the books and judge everybody. And all those that that haven't gone through the fire, by doing what the Lord says is the fire, the fearful, the unbelieving, and all those that are corrupt are going to spend eternity. They're waiting right now in hell. And then there's a place reserved for those that are awaiting judgment. Then they're pulled up from hell and then sent into the lake of fire on the final day, because they never set their hearts aright. But we have to pray for the children and preach the truth to them and tell them to report everything that they see that they don't believe is of the Lord. And we do have such people in the church. There's a person in Los Angeles that preaches that tells, reports everything that he sees. Doesn't care if they call him a rat. And to me, he is the highest esteemed person in the church. He doesn't hold anything back. He can't stand to see corruption in the church, and he reports it immediately. And I praise and thank the Lord for him, because we don't have another person in the church like him. Okay, then what?
Pray that the children might not be as their fathers, and a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God.
Yeah, most usually they don't report things because they themselves are laden down with all kinds of sins, and they're afraid that if they report, that the other person will rat them out. And so they keep silent all the time, because they don't want to be reported, because they think that's evil, to confess your sins, to go through the fire, to be washed in the blood. They think that something terrible will happen if they do what the Lord says. So they go on not telling on satanic things that are happening in the church for fear somebody is going to tell on them. But this old code, prison code or jail code, or they even have that same code in the police departments. There was a story that I was looking at where it stated that, I forget how many police it was, but 70-some police all saw this bunch of people being beaten. Or no, they saw them getting beaten, and they all fixed themselves up with black eyes, the police did, and bandages all over them to say that the citizens were beating them up, when in reality somebody across the street was taking a picture of the whole thing, a videotape, and the people that were beaten up never even lifted a finger against the police. And the people that the police said were rioting and everything won a $24 million lawsuit, and they got their money in Los Angeles. The police appealed it and appealed, but that tape, that videotape, told the truth. They said there were bottles and rocks being thrown all over the place, and that there was a silence. They call it the Blue Shield silence or something to that with the police officers. Every police department that I've ever encountered in my life is more corrupt than any criminals that I've ever met in prison or in jails or on the streets, because they have a badge that they've sworn that they were going to uphold justice, and they lie like a bunch of dogs. And they will not rat on their fellow police officer. And any police officer hearing this tape will have to admit this is the truth. And one of the police officers was beaten unmercifully by a bunch of police officers because they thought he was a criminal, when he in fact was chasing a criminal. And I have the tape, and I'm going to send it around to the church so that they can see it. It was on an NBC special. Thank God. I prayed that the things that the police department and the judges and the president and all these different, and the kings and the one world government and all these different, and the Vatican, all these things would be disclosed. And people see it, and yet people keep voting these people in. They're liars. The Bible tells you when you have a liar for a leader, that all the people are wicked in the administration. And so you're supposed to not like wickedness. You're supposed to eschew evil and put it away from you and to tell on it. And if you don't, well, then you're fearful and you're unbelieving, and you're going to spend eternity in hell because you're going along with a corrupt regime that needs to be reproved and rebuked, and they need to be prayed for and exposed so that they will get saved, because their conscience doesn't convict them. Their consciences are not their guide. And the Lord put a conscience in all every person's spirit to convict them, so that they'll confess and repent. But if the conscience isn't working in that respect, in the spirit, well, then the spirit is dead still. Because God, Christ, the triune God, will not enter any spirit, the heart of anyone that is corrupt and continues to maintain corruption in the code of silence against Satan. They won't confess Satan. And so you might as well just know right out. You see all these mafia films, The Godfather and all that, where no one dares tell on each other. It's just the opposite in the spiritual realm. You must disclose what the devil is doing. If you know of the murderers that are going on, murderings, adulteries, fornications, lying, a code of silence in any of those things, and it's in the church, this will corrupt the church. And if you've taken on that spirit from some other evil spirit in the church, then you need to confess that as well and get that off of your conscience so that you can have a conscience free and clear that can go boldly before the throne. Get it covered in the blood of Jesus so that you can go boldly to the throne of God and talk to Him, communicate with Him. Get rid of sin. That's what the Lord came into the world for, is to get rid of sin, to rid the world of sin. And how can the Lord do a work of getting rid of sin in the church that doesn't believe that you must confess sin? He says, confess your sins and forsake them and get them covered in the blood. If you don't believe that, then you're the same as the fathers. And we need to pray. And those kind of people are not going to pray that the children be that way, because they're going to be afraid that the children will rat them out, that they'll tell on them in the church. And so they will even hinder prayer, these kind of people that are that corrupt, that allow Satan to run rampant in the church. And they think that because you don't know, but the Lord talks to leaders in the church. And eventually the Lord is going to tell the leaders, they're not ever going to confess it, no matter if you hit them with the spirit for the rest of their lives, get them out. They're no good. They're corrupt. And I'm not going to bless you any longer if you don't get them out. And when the Lord tells me that, I get them out immediately. One time there was one like that in the church, and the Lord just sent Sue, and rammed in a vision to me, and rammed a box full of real heavy stuff into my stomach. It actually knocked the wind out of me, the vision did, and said, get her out of here. And within 10 minutes, I had her out. So people that doubt that the Lord talks to leaders, people that are called and chosen, highly chosen of the Lord, you're crazy. You might as well start making plans to leave if you don't get your spirit right with the Lord. If you have no conscience, if your conscience is seared, it's just a matter of time before you're gone anyway. So pray that the children, now those of you, whether there's even one man in the church that will pray, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Pray for the children that they are not going to be this way, because they're young and tender and their consciences may not yet be seared. But the Lord wants a holy church, one that is free from weeds. He wants them all burned up. It doesn't matter how long ago the sin was, it's there. No statute of limitations. It's right there. And God's going to say, He said, I'm not saved, Lord. I was going to say, look at all this filth. Look at all this filth here that you didn't get burned out of you. This filth. You didn't remove it. Well, how was I supposed to remove it? You heard pastor after pastor or message after message telling you to remove filth, you must confess it and be covered in the blood. You knew that, you liar. Well, Lord, no, it wasn't that way. Let me explain. The Lord's going to say, no, you let me explain. It's on my books. You're such a liar that you actually even think I'm a liar. You're so corrupt that you actually think I'm corrupt. Now depart from me, you wicked thing. Go into everlasting, the lake of fire. That's on the last day. That's the most horrible thing that could ever happen. But let me explain. There's no, you've already had it explained to you. You're not going to explain anything to me. What are you going to tell me? These people actually have the audacity to tell God. They have the audacity right now to try to tell me, and I know the Word of God is written on my heart. I already know what it says, and they keep coming up with their philosophy, and they want me to buy that. If I won't buy it, what do you think the Lord's going to do? Do you think He's going to buy your philosophy? Huh?
No.
He's not. So every sin, unconfessed sin, doesn't matter if it's 5, 10, 15 years ago, a year, yesterday, whenever, if it's still there, and anything that you see in the church that goes on that is not reported, then that sin goes on your soul too, because you're in conspiracy to corrupt the church with the person that's doing it. Okay, so pray that the children are not like the old dogs, the fathers, the ones that got sent to hell and are going to be sent to hell. Pray for a holy church of the future, today and in the future. Because God said He wants His church purged. And you're purged by the Word. And the Word, you're purged by the Word if you see what it says and then you do it. But you're certainly not purged if you see what it says and don't do it. Okay, then what?
That was Psalm 78:8.
I did this message last night. Of course, it's different today, right?
Right.
Always, I cannot preach the same message the same way, but it always means the same thing. I was a little bit tired last night, and I don't believe I emphasized this part as much as I am today. Okay, but go ahead.
As an army which is unarmed, turned back, defeated because of it.
Right. Now, we're supposed to be the army of the Lord. If you don't do these things, then there's no power of God in you to fight the devil, the enemy. God and your power in you to fight the devil is the Lord. Lord will not fight for you against the entire world government. If you don't have the Lord in your favor, He will not fight for you if you are filthy. If there's even one sin on your soul, the Bible says you've broken them all the commandments. So by having sin on your soul, by being corrupt, and going up against the devil is like going up worse than going up against Russia and China if they were against us, which I doubt. But it would be like going up against the devil with a paper birthday party hat on and a wooden sword. We cannot go into battle unarmed, unarmored. We have to have the full armor, which is the power of God in us. And there is nothing that can substitute that. No matter what the devil has told you, you must have the full arms and armor of God. God has to be the one that you call on when you see the entire Egyptian army coming after you. And the army today, incidentally, is much larger than the Egyptian army attacking the Hebrew children in Egypt. They all cried out to God for the children to save their children. Put the blood on your, get washed in the blood. Confess your filthy sins. No one has ever attacked anybody that tells the truth or that forsakes their sins, is washed in the blood. I've prayed thousands and thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people through. And I've never railed on anybody that confessed their sins and ask for the blood of Jesus to erase them? Well, I would be the devil myself if I would say anything bad about anybody like that, because they're new creatures in Christ Jesus. But some people, there's like a dull thud that's in their spirit because Satan says, don't buy that. But there's no one in this church that could ever say that anyone that confessed their sins, that I ever railed on them or put them out of the church for confessing their sins and being washed in the blood. If they confess their sins and get them washed away and then begin doing the same things that they said that they confessed, well, then I'm going to say, hey, listen, you're just like you said you were before. You have to walk in the power of the Spirit. You must have the arms and the armor of God on. You must continue on not sinning. You have to crucify the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit living in you. You have to live a Spirit-filled life. But they say that's too much work. It's much easier to just look at corruption and keep corruption in their soul. They don't want to take the effort to pray, to read, and to keep their eyes stayed upon the Lord, because there's so many wonderful things they think they're in the world that they like lusting after, and they don't want to put them away. Therefore, that makes them not Christians, that makes them corrupt. And they keep their corruption going and their code of silence between their friends, to where they say, don't you ever say anything about me, because if you do, I'm going to say something about you. I'm going to tell all the things you did. Keep the code of silence, the police code of silence, the government code of silence. Somebody gets wind that somebody's going to say something about a corrupt president or a king, the president or king sends somebody out after him to kill him. And that's just the same kind of spirit that these people that don't confess and forsake their sins have. I'm going to kill you in this church. I'm going to report. If you report me, you kill my dog, I'm going to kill your cat. So keep the code of silence or else you've had it. I wouldn't care what anybody said about me. If I wanted to truly repent, I'd just say, well, then go ahead and say it, because I'm going to repent too. To save my soul, don't you think I'm smart enough to do that? Huh? Yeah, I would. I saw a biker church. So they get up and they tell everything they did. They're more righteous. They look like the devil, but they're up there confessing everything they did. And they say, I'm not living that way no more. I want to go to heaven. And they're rough dudes. Yeah, man, I used to smoke more weed, I used to smoke this, I did that, I lived a free sex life, I did all kinds of stuff like that, but man, I'm clean. I realized riding my bike, that I could get in an accident and wind right up in hell if I wasn't keeping the commandments of the Lord. Now, I'm freeing myself all that. What difference? Everybody's a sinner, and everybody's trying to make themselves look like Snow White as a dirty, stinking liar. Try to tell me that you never did anything in your life, especially when you're living in corrupt schools and things like that. You're the filthiest, rotten liar there is, especially when I see the way you are today. The spirit in you was the same way then as you are today. There's no difference. You did something for sure. And then you confess a little bit of what you did and then say, and it was a lot, and you say that nothing else happened, you're a liar. When especially you confessed it once and then took it back and said you never did it. You're corrupt as you can get. And you said it before the Holy Spirit. And then you got a wry smile on your face, like, of course, you know me. You confessed, you lied to the Holy Spirit. That was enough to kill Ananias and Sapphira. And you're acting like you're holy, you're the most unholy person I know. There's not very many people that I've ever seen lie to the Holy Spirit. Don't be trying to tell me that you're holy. You're hiding stuff from the Lord. And the Lord's got it down on the books anyway, so what's the big deal? If you don't think he has it there, it says, "And then the books were opened, and all the people of the earth were judged for the things that they did and didn't do." Well, Lord, after that was the statute of limitation. That was 10 years ago, man. How could you remember something like that? Well, it's 15 years ago, Lord. Have mercy. Let me con you. Come on. What do you think God's going to do to somebody like that? Is he going to let him con him?
No.
God isn't like you. He's the Lord. There's no darkness in him at all. Okay, then what?
Quote, "They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law."
Yeah. The promise is that you're going to be truthful, honest. You're going to keep the commandments. That's the covenant you made with the Lord when you said you got saved. Well, the Lord says, "I'll keep my covenant with you that you go to heaven if you keep your promise to me." Well, he doesn't. If you're not keeping your promise to him, well, he says, "I won't keep my promise to you. I promise you another kind of promise then." And that promise is you're going to hell for breaking covenant with me. Just like the people in the Old Testament, the fathers went to hell. Do you think that because they were Jews that they didn't go? They were way more responsible than the sinner. Those that are responsible for much will be given many stripes. But those that didn't know, they'll be given few stripes. Doesn't the Bible say?
Yes. Yeah.
So the sinner out there is better than you are. Because you've heard all these messages and you're still corrupt. They never heard any messages. So the Lord says they're going to get not the hottest place in hell or the lake of fire. But they won't get as hot of a place as you will. Judgment begins first at the house of God. You have to start judging yourself right now. And then if you see that you're doing things that are wrong, you better confess them so that you can get the Spirit of the Lord in you. And that's your armor and that's your arms. It's your power. You better get God's power and life in you so that the work of the Lord can be done in and through you. Keep going.
"And forget his works and his wonders that he had showed
them."
And
he forgot God's works. They're doing Satan's works. They don't want to do God's works. They forgot God's works and wonders. And God wants to continue his incarnation in you. And instead, you're saying, "No, this is not the temple of God. This is the temple of Satan. I want Satan to dwell with all of his secrets in me." That's you. That's what you're saying. And it's obvious you're so stupid that you don't know that. Ridiculously stupid. And they forgot the wonders what?
That he had showed them.
Right, there's all kinds of wonders that the Lord has shown us in the Bible and in the church. Amen?
Amen.
For instance, we have a whole town out here in Arkansas that was against us. And they took our water away from us and closed our businesses down and everything. And we never retaliated against them. And they even cited one of our brothers, Sanford White, that he was had to go to court and that he was stealing because he hooked up a trailer to water, which he was paying for. And so therefore he wasn't stealing anything. But still, the regime, the mayor's office and the judge, and they're all into it. They're corrupt. And they need to be saved. And so we prayed, "Lord, let them be." I know I did. I prayed, "Let them be saved, Lord." God and several other people in the church prayed that they would be saved and that there would be a wonder of the Lord. Well, one day over here, all the water got turned off, and there was an ice storm just a couple of weeks ago. And no one had any power, and nobody had any water. We had power because we had a generator on our place, but we didn't have any water. And so I thought, well, surely they'd have the water turned on in a day or two.
But it didn't come on, so I called the mayor's office and asked him, what's wrong? And they says, well, my husband's out looking for a generator. So I looked for one and found one. I had one of the boys call here and there. And so we got a 300-kilowatt generator. It's so big that it had to be mounted on a trailer. And they said it was $3,000 a week. So I know that there's many children and our own and all kinds of sick people in this town. And I asked the Lord, should I do it or not? Should I go ahead and rent it? Or did the mayor find one? His wife said he's in Fort Smith looking for a trailer now, for a generator. I said, did he find it, Lord? The Lord answered me, no. I said, should I get it? He said, get it. So I had it pulled in. I called the mayor's office and told him that I got him a generator. And so I had it drug over here from Dallas, clear out to the Texarkana area. And so they didn't. They said, well, we can have somebody pull it over here with a front-end loader. And I said, well, I don't know that if you think it'll do that, but I don't think it, because this thing is on a 48-foot bed trailer. I don't see how a front-end loader can haul it. So, okay, so I just hung up, and the next morning it was 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock and 10, I called over there and I said, what's the matter? He said, well, we can't figure out how to pull that thing. I didn't realize it was as big as it is. I said, well, I have a tractor over here, same kind that pulled it over here from Dallas, and I've got one of the drivers here that can go and hook it up and take it over there to where the water needs to be, have a generator, a pump, to pump the water back up into the tank so that there'd be plenty of water for the city. Oh, could you do that? Yes. Oh. Now, they took water away from us for 2 years and had us closed down, one of the boys closed down his business over here. But yet, the Lord says to overcome good, evil with good, amen, by doing good to people. This whole city, we're saying blasphemous things about us in the newspapers and everything, and so I still paid the $3,000 and also $1,700 to pull it here. So altogether, it came to $4,700. And because the Lord told me to. He says, overcome evil by doing good. And so I had him go there and hook it up. Marty took the machine over there on the trailer. And then all of a sudden, I get a call from the newspaper. And it was a man that has written some stories about us before, and some good stories too, fairly good ones. He says, boy, that was a real generous thing after those people here in town had done that evil to you and you. How'd you find that out? And he says, a mayor told me. And I says, well, praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm going to do a story on this. And he did. And all of a sudden, the whole mayor's office here dropped the charges on Sanford White. They were going to send him to prison. And they talked to the attorney, and now they're giving us meters now for our water on land, and they're going to hook us up to sewer that never had sewer on it before, and water. And everybody here likes us. Now people are calling us for clothing and food and things like that. And so we're taking it over to them in the town. And so now a lot of people called us up too and told us, oh, man, we really appreciate it. And the mayor and different people in the mayor's office said, we're so sorry that we treated you the way we did and everything. So by doing what the Lord says, by confessing your sins and forsaking them and reporting things in the church, don't worry. Everything will happen just right because God never tells you to do anything that's going to hurt you. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I thought, man, this could hurt. You know, if you want to think with your mind, your carnal mind, rather than the Lord, this $4,700 I'm going to spend on this boy, we need that for other things. And after all, these people had done these evil things to us, and why should we give them water? Man, I'm just happy here at Christmas time that they don't have any power, they don't have any lights, and they don't have any water. They're walking around in there, their turkeys are half cooked, their little cakes are in the oven and falling all over. Oh, God have mercy on them. Lord says, you have mercy on them. I'll go get them the trailer and the generator. And look at what happened.
maybe the whole town got saved. Amen?
Amen.
Now they're our friends. Amen.
Amen?
So don't be afraid to do what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen?
Don't be like the fathers and not do what the Lord said and wind up in hell. Do what the Lord says. No matter how stupid it seems to you or your rational, mental, your carnal thinking, put on the mind of Christ and think as Christ did. Christ never gave evil for evil. He never railed on those people. For he rebuked them and reproved them for the sins that they were doing. And so he wants us to do the same thing, the pastors. Amen?
Amen.
Don't be afraid to do what the Lord says. Be afraid to continue doing what the devil says. Because there's no good going to come out of it. Sanford went to prison. And we still would not have water if we wouldn't have done something to show the Lord the presence in us, to manifest the Lord incarnation being continued in us. We did what the Lord said. And everybody went along. Well, I did what the Lord said, and everybody went along with it. Marty went along with it. Sanford and Terry went along with it. And all the people in the church went along with it. They were praising and thanking the Lord. Yes, let's do the godly thing. Amen?
Amen.
We can't just do the godly thing. And one thing you have to do godly, everything that you do has got to be godly or it's going on the books with a buzzer on it, okay? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, that was Psalm 78, 10, and 11.
What was that? Read it now without me interjecting here.
Quote, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forget his works and his wonders that he had showed them.
Right. These signs will follow those that believe. If you believe the Lord, then just do what he says. That proves that you believe him. That proves to him that you believe him. And everything that's on those books, if you repent and forsake it, is totally wiped off. He's not going to hold them against you any longer. Chances are you weren't saved. Chances are you just, somebody conned you into it and you believe them rather than God. Some male or some female in the church. Why do you put so much credence in them and just throw the words of the Lord down on the street to be trampled, the blood of Jesus to be trampled over as you and your code of silence is doing? Rat the devil out. Be for the Lord, not the devil. Stand up for Jesus. Don't be a coward because all cowards are going to hell. Okay, then what?
To all who do his bidding, keep covenant, he promises, quote, I will pour out my spirit on thy seed.
That means on your children. Okay, then what?
And my blessing upon thine offspring, Isaiah 44:3.
The seed that's in you, Christ, he'll make him grow in you, and he'll bless your children too and make his blessing, the growth of God, Christ in them, grow up as well, so that they'll go to heaven. If you're going to let the devil grow up in you, you're for sure going to go to hell. If you let Christ grow up into you, then you're for sure going to heaven. God promised and he can't lie. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Pray for the new generation of young ones who shall rise up after us. Give thought to the young boys and girls, men and women, the children of our day, and pray for all the generations working with the Lord among them, and that no matter where they are in the world, the Lord Jesus Christ may be honored in them, and that the Holy Spirit should take full possession of them.
Right. Now, the Lord was honored in this because I gave all the credit to the Lord, to the newspaper, okay? Whether he printed that or not, I can't remember. I mean, I really didn't even read I had somebody read it to me very quickly, but I never read it. I think I told him, I said, all the glory goes to the Lord. The Lord told me to do that. He said to overcome evil was good so that people can be saved. Everybody has a bandana, a code of silence in this world. That's no manifestation of the Lord. There has to be a new spirit into the world, a spirit from heaven in here in order that people can be converted and changed. The Spirit of God has to be living and working in you in order for people to see the Lord.
There's no manifestation of the Lord unless you let Satan die in you and let your mind and Satan's mind and anybody else's mind, their opinions or what you should do if somebody's told you, you have to keep a code of silence. The police code of silence. The police. And it's if you see your brother or sister beaten to pieces and going to hell, shut up about it. If that isn't the devil, I don't know what is. Well, what kind of a goody two-shoes are you telling people what the Lord says? Well, I don't want that on my soul at the judgment bar of God that I didn't tell them what the Lord said. You do, but I don't. I want to get into those gates, amen? Amen. I don't want to be thrown, cast into the lake of fire where Satan is. You love Satan. I hate him. The Lord says to you, you're going to have to hate him and love the Lord, or hate the Lord and love Satan. And if you are hiding Satan in your soul and your spirit and his deeds, they're still on the books in the king, the book in the kingdom of God, and God gets there. And you're just, your time is always. You could go out to meet the Lord anytime. When you get enough of the word of the Lord in you and the Lord says, he sees that you're still rejecting his way, his wonders, he'll take you out. I've told that to a lot of people and the Lord took them out. Told it to a guy named Greg Howard in the church. He wanted to go up and take care of pigs at a pig farm that the boys wanted at the church. The Lord told me I want him to stay with the baby Christians and read and pray with them. Nah, he wanted to be with his brother because his brother Martin was at the pig farm. Why wouldn't he want to be with the Lord? His brother Martin was also not of the Lord. He was like not receiving the things of the Lord. And I had patience. Well, I called one night, and one of the brothers answered the phone and says, you know, this Greg Howard is leaning on, is outside the prayer room and saying, with a cup of coffee in his hand, and saying he's doing a prayer. He's praying in the prayer room. And he's just laughing about it when I tell him, no, you have to be in the prayer room and you can't be drinking coffee when you're praying. I said, have him come to the phone. And when he came to the phone, the Spirit of the Lord came down to me and says, do you know, young man, do you know that you're going to die? And he said, yes. I said, no, I mean, real soon. You believe that the Lord's telling me that you're going to die real soon. Did you know that? And he says, yes, sir. And he's kind of laughing. He prided himself in being called Happy Howard. He used to play trombone with Etta James, a singer. He was a pretty good trombone player in our orchestra. Well, about within a week, usually the people in the church have to ask permission if they're going to go to work on a roof or something like that. So he didn't ask permission. I would have told him no, because you don't know about roofing and I don't want you sliding off the roof or killing yourself or anything like that. But he went up on the roof with Gilbert Vincent. And Gilbert Vincent is just like an empty, he's gone now. He did the same thing, took money from the church. And he covered all the skylights up with sheets of paper. And Happy Howard never knew that that's what he does, and he never told anybody. And so Happy Howard stepped on the piece of paper and went right through the skylight and went down two stories and landed on his back and jarred and injured all the vital organs in his body, and they hauled him off to the hospital. And I went over there with a crew of people. We started praying for him, and the blue light came on. That means the person died. And so a whole bunch of staff from the hospital ran over with these clapboards and started trying to revive his heart and everything. And then they started, his heart started beating again. And he was, I'd never seen anybody like this. They were huffing and Happy Howard was in there, unconscious, and he was blowing air like that. And his chest was just heaving back and forth. And so I said, oh, praise the Lord. And he didn't go out. No, Lord God, if he's going out, appear to him, wash him in the blood. Lord, make some kind of, make him repent before he goes out. Meantime, in the prayer room up at the church about 60 miles away, people were in the prayer room and they got this vision of him saying, pray for me. Nobody in this church is praying for me. I'm going to die. I'm going to go to hell. And nobody did pray for him except myself and the people that were with me. And I don't know, you know, you just never know if they're really, their prayers are going up beyond the ceiling. And you don't know if there's sin on their soul and that God isn't hearing them anyway. But anyway, the blue light went out again. They came back and ran, all the interns and the nurses and the doctors running down the hall. And they went over to him, and this time they didn't revive him. Young man, did you know you were going to die real soon?
Yes.
There's sin on your soul. You better get right with the Lord. It isn't funny. It's all right to die if you're clean. But for God's sake, for your own sake, get right with the Lord. Go over to the, you know, stay in here with these baby Christians. No, he just wanted to do his own thing. Everybody back then, a whole bunch of people in the church wanted to do their own thing. And they're not in the church anymore. And now the church is growing. It's bigger than it's ever been. But this time, we see branches all over the world now, and they've really got some strong churches and people in there. The Lord doesn't want anybody that's pretending to be a Christian. He wants the real thing. So pray for the children that they'll be real. So that there'll be a generation called Joel's Army. For God's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, and He's not going to do it by just pouring it out into the air. He's doing it by pouring Himself, His Word and His Spirit into people that are of the Lord, that are not holding Satan as their dear friend, that are not holding lies or keeping some silent code, but they're confessing everything as it happens. Joel's army, and God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh through these vessels, and there's not going to be very many of them. That doesn't discourage me when I see somebody falling away or just lying and doing the things that the Lord says is going to send them to hell. They're not going to throw my soul. They're not going to weaken me. But I'm going to continue telling people what they ought to do. And that's up to them. They have to, their will, in their which dwells in their conscience, in their soul. That's why the soul is judged. I'm going to judge every soul, He says. And the soul that sins shall surely die. And the spirit is part of the soul. Just as the inner sanctuary was part of the tabernacle of God. The whole soul, the body, the soul, and the spirit, the inner sanctuary is all going to hell. I say all these things in, you know, so that people will understand, because I believe that a lot of people just make up what they want to believe about God. But that won't work. God wants you to know Him, the real Him, not what you think He is or hope He is. Okay, go ahead.
Pray for the young in your home, all Christian homes in the world, and the youth of the world to be converted and be raised up to let Christ live and work in and through them. How to pray with the whole heart.
Okay, now the Lord doesn't hear the prayer of anyone that's not praying with the whole heart. Because when He's receiving prayer, He's there. The whole triune God is there with His whole being, His whole heart to hear prayers. When He feels a prayer coming up there, He's right there. Just to watch Him. As big as with a full triune Godhead, there's waiting to hear that prayer roll up before the throne. And He wants, there's nothing short of your whole heart, your whole inner being, your whole mind and heart and being, the spirit, the inside man, to be right there for Him to hear
what you want him to receive, because it's very offensive to God if you're not praying in faith like that. He's right there listening. He gave his whole life. He gave his life blood for you and me and everybody. And when you pray to him, he doesn't want some half thing coming up there. When he gave his whole life, his whole blood, his body as a sacrifice for you, and he's there to listen intently to everything that you're asking of him, especially when it's coming from the Spirit of the Lord in you, and your spirit is merged with the Spirit of God. He wants that whole being, your whole being, your whole inner man, your whole heart. Pray with your whole heart. Cry unto me with your whole heart. And then I'll hear you. And then I'll answer you. Don't be coming up here like with some little Casper limp wrist milk toast. I'm not that kind of a God. I want somebody that is a covenant. I keep my covenant, you keep yours. I want you up here with all the heart, all the soul, all the mind, and all your strength. Don't be asking me with if you really want something to come up here halfway or one-tenth of the way or 90%. I want that whole you there, because all of me is there. Okay, then what?
Quote, the Lord grant thee according to thine own heart.
Yeah, according to the way your heart, your spirit goes up there. Let him according to what's there. Well, he sees you coming up with nothing. He's not going to give you anything. Why is there no big revival in the world if there's a God? It's because of you, not him. If you come out there with the whole heart, he'll give all of his self. He's ready to answer all the way if you're ready to come up there all the way. Amen?
Yeah.
He wants to hear the sincere prayer, the fervent prayer of a righteous person. Amen?
Yeah.
And then it'll avail much. Okay, then what?
That was Psalm 24. Quote, thou hast given him his heart's desire. Psalm 21.
Yeah, your entire being's desire. When you present your entire being, he knows that you mean business. And you can go up there with all that when you find out from the Lord, Spirit in you, what it is that he wants you to pray for. Then you say, praise the Lord, we need this. We need what we're praying for, otherwise God would not tell us to pray for it. Okay, what else?
I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. Psalm 119, 145.
The psalmist prayed with his whole heart. Amen?
Amen.
And he died in his bed, not slaughtered by somebody. And he went to heaven, even though he committed a horrible crime. He repented. He confessed it. I have sinned. It's yes, it's me. It truly was. I sinned. And he took what he had coming to him. His own wives were committed adultery on him, or they were raped before the whole world, and he had to crawl in to heaven. No more blessing on his life whatsoever, with the exception that he got to go to heaven, and that was enough for him. He didn't care if he had anything else. Okay, he exposed the devil. He got rid of him. So he wasn't going to let the devil take a hold on him like that, because he knew that God's word was true. And God says, if there's one sin on your soul, you're not making it in. And the psalmist believed that. Well, Lord, that was a long time ago. I mean, certainly you were not going to hold that against me. I see all kinds of people say, you keep reminding us of the same thing that we did 10 years. Yes, because you're still doing it today. In just a different lie. You haven't repented. You don't have any power in you to stop sinning. I'm saying it for you to repent. Well, I mean, don't say it in front of all those people. Why? David said it in front of Nathan and knew it was going to be printed in the Word, and everybody in the world that's ever read the Bible sees it. He doesn't care about his own self, the dead demonic, the devil. People knowing what the devil's doing, he ratted himself out so he could get into heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you don't, it's going to be on his soul. And he knew it, and he just, that's it, man, I'm going to heaven. I don't care what it takes. If it takes me being treated as a dog from now on, I'm going to heaven. If I have to be a dog, if God changes me into a dog, like he changed Nebuchadnezzar into an ox, God could do that. But I don't want to be like, I don't want to have any sin on my soul. And I know that I have to confess it. So I did, David says. Okay, go ahead.
God is alive. He is a living...
He's alive. He's a living God. And he sees everything. And he even knows every thought. He sees every idle word that comes out of your mouth and mine. And don't worry about me. If you think I'm saying something wrong, I'll be judged for that. Won't I?
Yes.
I have to stand judgment by myself. You don't have to point fingers at me. He already got it written down in a book. Okay? I don't have to point no finger at you or anybody else up in the judgment bar of God before the great white throne. He's got it all down in a book. He knows it better than I do. He knows it better than you do. Well, as long as he knows it, I don't have to... That's your own rules. That's your way. No, you have to do it the Lord's way so that your spirit can be broken. Your heart can be broken. You can have a contrite spirit, someone that does what the Lord says. Not one that does a little bit and smiles and tries to use personality and speaks with their fingers and their toes and wishy-washy and flaky. No flaky people going. You have to be powerful. The Spirit of the Lord is the only thing that can take you into heaven. And he's not going to dwell in an unrepentant, unconfessed spirit. He's not going to hear you. He's not going to answer you. He's not going to bless you. But he's going to curse you. Then what?
God is alive. He is a living God and listens to every prayer with his whole heart. Every time we pray, the entire divine God is hearing you with his whole heart. This is why he demands that every prayer we send him must be presented to him with our whole being, heart. Our whole inner man must be there, too. That we must cry out to him with our whole heart. Christ gave himself completely to the Father for us, who were but mere men, and he takes up our every need when we pray with the whole heart into his intercession to the Father for us. If we will begin always seeking God with our whole heart, our entire heart will be in every prayer that we cry to God with. We must pray with the whole heart for the young ones who will not only help in our ministry, but because they are the young ones who will follow us.
Okay, that's it.